Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 1, text 133. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Snana Yatra Deki Prabhu Shange Bhakti Gan Sabaloya Koila Prabhu Gundicha Narjana. After seeing the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleaned Sri Gundicha temple with the assistance of many devotees. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Chanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Boja Dulisham Jamna Jamani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dugi Sanatanastam Prabhumasrayami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Vasant Falls, New York, which is I guess my base or residence here. And I'm happy to be here now through Janmashtami. Traveling is always difficult, and spiritual life, especially sadhana and studies, require regulation. When you're traveling, it's very difficult to have regulation, because to focus, you need regulation. So I'm kind of happy to be here. I was just on a very nice short whirlwind tour with His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami. Very nice to hear him preach. That was really nice. So now we'll go on to the Madhyalila. And what we're actually doing is just covering Madhyalila chapter 1. And it goes a little bit slow in one sense, because each verse is a synopsis of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sesha Lila. So within this Madhyalila, you get a synopsis of the whole Madhya and Antya Lila. So we're covering those verses. I'm just going to read back a little bit, because on Wednesday we had Balaram Purnima. It's not Balaram Jayanti, it's Krishna Jayanti. Jayanti has to do something with some astronomical configuration. But Balaram is Balaram Purnima. We had a talk on that, as on Wednesday. For those of you who can attend, because many of you be in different temples, etc., but the class that I give on Janmashtami will be broadcast on the Sangha at 9 o'clock, or at least one of the classes that I give. So we're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he just finished traveling from South India, and he returns from Puri. So I'll just read a few of the verses. Upon the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Ramananda Roy took leave of the king and returned to Jagannath Puri. After he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much enjoyed talking with him both day and night about Lord Krishna and his pastimes. Our advancement in the path of bhakti is completely congruous with our attachment to chanting and hearing. The more devotion you have, the more you like to chant and hear about the object of your devotion. So when very elevated souls appear who are so imbued with devotion, they can talk day and night about Krishna's pastimes. And Ramananda Roy took leave of the king. This theme will come up, that Ramananda Roy was a very important magistrate or administrator in the government of King Prataparudra. But King Prataparudra, with full pension and full blessings and an ecstasy, allows him to return on the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy to Puri to assist him in his Anchalila. And Ramananda Roy is one of the devotees who recognizes the exalted position of King Prataparudra and is imploring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him shelter. So that will also be discussed in some later verses. So I'm just going to go on and just read these verses up to where we are today. After Ramananda Roy's arrival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Kashi Mishra and met Pradyumna Mishra and other devotees. At that time, three personalities, Paramananda Puri, Govinda, and Kashivar, came to see Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. So the devotees are beginning to arrive, and first in one sense, the elders, Paramananda Puri, Govinda, and Kashivar, were the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, Ishvara Puri. So all the great devotees are starting to arrive in Puri, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. And the essence of spiritual life, the tracks by which the vehicle of bhakti proceeds further, is sadhu sangha. And those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're eager for sadhu sangha, because it is the sadhu who speaks about Krishna. And hearing about Krishna and liking to hear about Krishna is one's devotion. So as one develops that devotion, he not only likes to hear about Krishna, but he makes great effort and endeavor to get the association of advanced devotees. Because in their association, one can make rapid advancements. So that's really the inner core basic prayer of the Vaishnav in his inner bhajan, that he wants this sangha more than anything else. And then eventually there was a meeting with Sarup Damodar Goswami, and the Lord became very pleased. And Sarup Damodar Goswami, he is the chief of the Bengali Vaishnavas. And of course, we talked about him, a very special position in terms of Lord Chaitanya would love his loud and melodic singing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to cultivate his mission of completing his pleasure of rasa by trying to attain the position of Krishna, trying to attain the position of his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, and to cultivate those sentiments. There's two things that really cultivate that center. This is our process of bhakti. We want to develop our eternal relationship with Krishna. And the seed, that bhakti lata bij, comes from the association of Guru and Krishna. And it's a seed of bhakti. It's a seed of our relationship with Krishna. Or it's the potency that awakens the seed of our relationship within our heart. And that's the process of devotional service, to develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord, because that is our eternal position. And that's what self-realization means. Self-realization means to understand who you are. And to invoke that understanding and that sentiment, very important and properly primary is to do that by hearing the songs of that sentiment, the Vaishnav songs. It's just natural. Two things that cultivate any sentiment best, and we all know this properly, is music and drama. So similarly in the path of bhakti, I mean the whole Bhagavatam, the stories of Krishna, it's in rasa, the songs by Sarup Damodar and the katha by Ramananda Roy. So this was this is why they're the most confidential associates, because they understood the inner core desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have that mood. And because they understood his inner mood, they could cultivate it with their singing and their Krishna katha. And if we want to advance in spiritual life, we have to pray to awaken our eternal relationship with Krishna, at least to realize that we are his eternal servants. And then whatever little devotion we have, we must cultivate it by hearing about Krishna, C.C. Radha Krishna, in the proper association, and to immerse ourselves in the songs of their glories. Then there was a meeting with Sikhi Mahiti and Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy. So just getting this sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, and the Supreme Lord means his devotees. In fact, that's the quality of the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the inner revelation, the full revelation of that absolute reality, only manifests in the association of the intimate, loving devotees who bring it out. And therefore, of the four, of one of the four qualities that distinguishes the absolute reality as Sri Krishna from even the absolute reality as Narayan, is Krishna, is the intimacy and love of his devotees. So they're all arriving here in Puri. All the devotees from Bengal gradually began arriving at Jagannath Puri. At this time, the residents of Kulinagram also came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. And when we discussed that before, the scene of the Bengali devotees, the 200 Mahabhagavats coming, and then their ecstatic kirtan, and King Prataparudra on the roof of a building in separation from that kind of intimate association, because the sadhus distanced themselves, especially the sannyasis, from the people who exhibit materialism, even if they're not materialists. And I just always remember when I took sannyas, I mean, Satsarup Maharaj gave he told what Prabhupada's instruction was to him, you know, that the main instruction was that when you visit a very wealthy person's house in India, especially with, you know, family, you should never think, oh, I could have had that. So there's some kind of distance here, especially in that traditional culture. And they're watching the and then Govinda comes, with Chaitanya's servant, who was serving him on the order of Ishwar Puri, and then the Bengali Vaishnavas never saw the godbrother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now serving as his servant. And Srupa Damodar comes forward to greet the devotees. Advaitacharya is leading them. Srivas is there. So that's the image that should be in our mind. And how wonderful that is. So that we discussed. And from Kulina and then from Kunda, eventually Narahadidas and other inhabitants of Kunda arrived. Narahadidas, his singing of Gaur Lila was so attractive that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't like to hear so much Gaur Lila because it was about him. And as, in the mood of a devotee, he didn't like to hear his own glories. But Narahari, and that's also in the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narahari Adi Kori Chamara Adulaya. And in that ecstatic scene when Lord Chaitanya exhibited his Mahaprakash, his form as the Supreme Lord, and all the devotees were worshiping, especially, you know, it was Narahari, he had the Chamara. And he would sing so beautifully that even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resistant to hear his own glories, he couldn't resist hearing the singing of Narahari. And along from Kunda, also Shivananda Sena all arrived, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him. These devotees are being distinguished. Shivananda Swami, Shivananda Sena was very kindly managing the devotees and supporting all their parikram and taking care of all their headaches so that they can enter the Dham Puri without any anxiety. So these devotees are so wonderful. And then today's verse, after seeing the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleaned Sri Gundicha temple with the assistance of many devotees. So this was also wonderful because the mood of Rath Yatra is that Sri Krishna is returning to Vrindavan. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood in the Rath Yatra. We saw that before in terms of how he was singing before the Rath Yatra and the songs he was singing and the mood he was in. And therefore, Gundicha represents Vrindavan. And those of you who've been to Puri, that very big road, what is it, 4 or 5 miles, whatever it is, the Rath Yatra cart come, and then in Gundicha temple, and where Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra stay for 2 weeks. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decides, and he asks the superintendent of the temple that, you know, he wants to clean the temple. And it's a very, very wonderful pastime. It's such a direct analogy because the Lord is coming and they're cleaning the temple. And the service to the Supreme Lord and the mood of cleaning the temple is analogous to the devotee receiving the Supreme Lord in his heart. I remember when I first came to the temple, when Srila Prabhupada was coming to the temple in Brooklyn. And, you know, I came to the temple a few times, like 1970, 71. And when I went to the temple, Hari Kesh engaged me in some service. You know, it was really wonderful. It, you know, like, it was a treasure to get some service. It's not a burden, but it was, and he told me, yeah, I think I was helping clean Prabhupada rooms or something. The consciousness in the temple was so nice that he said, yes, you clean. And he said, and Prabhupada was thinking, you know, saying, cleaning the temple is like cleaning your heart. So it was so nice, the mental cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada talks about that in the Nectar of Devotion. I think in the introduction about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. And even said, I believe, in that particular point that, you know, when one takes prasadam, he can think of Krishna, you know, taking prasadam with the cowherd boys. Or it's not just an external activity, but Prabhupada gave us some hint how we should try to cultivate our external activities and see in some way if we can relate them to our internal destination of Vrindavan or Puri or Navadvip. So I remember, you know, how it was so easily instilled in me in those times. I was so happy cleaning the temple, because it wasn't just an external activity, it was an internal activity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this by the thoroughness in which he cleansed that temple. It's described, it's a very, very beautiful pastime in the Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, it's so interesting, he's covered with dust. Because, you know, they're just cleaning the temple, so first they're sweeping it. And he's covered with dust, but the body of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya, it becomes even more beautiful than that. And then, you know, he's in such ecstasy, because the activity is just enriched so much with the internal mood. It's service to Krishna. And it's so much imbued with that internal mood that he's crying, and the tears are actually also washing the temple, and they're sweeping. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked everybody to bring, you know, whatever they've swept, the grains, the sand, etc., little piles outside. And he's telling, I am judging your devotional service by how much dirt you can actually pile up. Meaning, I'm judging your devotional service by your effort in devotional service to actually cleanse your heart thoroughly. And it's very amazing, because in this particular pastime, it's just, you know, and then they all clean, and then they try to find even, like, you know, even more dirt, how they can find it. And then there's from the lake there, I think it's Narendra Sarovar, there's just hundreds of pots of clay pots of water from this lake. It's a by the Gundicha temple, this is beautiful, beautiful, like, kund or lake. And, you know, hundreds of devotees are carrying this pot, and there's so much enthusiasm that sometimes, you know, the pots crack into other pots, and they break, and they have to get more pots, and the water is just, like, flowing out, and they're washing the ceilings, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking off his own cloth and cleaning the throne and actually moving the throne of the deity and cleaning under the throne. And then even outside, he's asking to also clean outside the temple. So he's teaching, and it's a very, very important, because what is our idea? We want to receive the Supreme Lord in our heart. Our whole process of devotional service is to attract the Supreme Positive. And that means to make our hearts clean. There's so many, this is why the main mantra for entering into Vrindavan. And what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the internal potency of Krishna. Vrindavan means where the energy and thoughts and desires are only for Krishna. Vrindavan means the Supreme Lord is at the center, and everything is moved for His pleasure. And when our heart becomes Vrindavan, it's when Krishna is in the center, and every thought and desire moves only for His pleasure. And Vrindavan means there are any other thoughts or desire but the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, to make our heart the internal potency of Vrindavan, we have to get rid of everything else that's external to Krishna's pleasure. And I'm going to say, from my own personal realization, I can't imagine how much dirt is in there. Every year, somehow, I'm thinking this, since I'm a devotee, every year I think, I say, yes, now I actually have a vision of reality. Now, at every moment, we all think what we see is true. And how we're looking at the world according to our realization is true. And then, lo and behold, the next year, you know, I make a fool of myself, or I make a mistake, or I learn something, and I say, the world wasn't the way I saw it last year. This is the way the world is. And lo and behold, the next year, I learn another thing about myself that I never knew before, and I see things in a different way, and my vision changes in a different way. And now I've been a devotee for 36 years, and still now I'm convinced, now I see the truth. But this year I have so many new realizations about Krishna consciousness, and it will continue. And in the same way, the subtlety of our material desires, our material attachments, the impurities in our heart, the subtleties of those desires, and how much we have to excavate the heart to make it suitable for Krishna and keep on purifying it and cleansing it. Of course, what is the process? Well, so I'm saying that, so Narottam Das Thakur gives the mantra. How do we enter Vrindavan? How do we see Krishna? Vishyacharya kabe shude habe man kabe hama herabo shrimar. When your mind is free from sense gratification and peaceful, then you can see Krishna. Then you can enter into Vrindavan. Then you can have darshan of the Lord. Very interesting. It says when the mind becomes peaceful, it's the same thing that's described when the temple, after it was cleaned, and they just were bringing in just hundreds and hundreds of pots of water, throwing it on the ceiling, creating rivers of water that pouring out of the temple. And when it was finished, the marble was very, very cool, and the place was peaceful. And that's exactly analogous to the heart. And then spiritual life takes place in the mode of goodness. Same thing. When the heart is purified, we become peaceful. Then we actually see the Lord. We hear the holy name. It descends. So this is the process, and Chaitanya is showing it. Vishaya, Chayakabhishune, and the process is what? Is it by our own power? Will we succeed by our own power? If we think we're going to succeed by our own power in cleansing our heart, although the endeavor is there, then we become discouraged. But no, Bhagavatam says, Srinvata Sva Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hijantisto Yabhadrani, Vidanoti Siddhitsitam. Vidanoti means cleanse. Who cleanses the heart? Surit Sitam. Surit means the one who is close to our heart, the one who is our well-wisher. Sitam, who is that? Surit Sitam, the devotee, he's Surit Sitam, he's the well-wisher, he's close in heart. It means Krishna. And what's the process? Srinvata Sva Kata Krishna, by Kata of Krishna, by Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means Kata of Krishna. Srinvata Sva Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. By the Shravana Kirtana, Punya, it become pure. Srinvata Sva Kata Krishna, Shravana Punya, well, no, wait. Srinvata Sva Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana Mangala, no, I got this wrong. Wait, Srinvata Sva Kata Punya Shravana, Hidyantisto Yabhadrani, Abhadra means what? That which is inauspicious. Hidyantisto Yabhadrani, that which is in the heart, which is inauspicious. And what's in it? Anartha, that which has no value. It's valueless to what? The eternal nature of the soul to love Krishna. So Srinvata, and then Rupa Goswami, Anya, Bila, Shita, Shunyam, Jnana, Karmadhyanavritam, Anya, Bila, Shita, without desire, pure bhakti, without extraneous desires for me. The sense. So here, if we want to receive Krishna, the heart must be cleansed. And in the purport, it's very interesting. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who made his commentary on this, he describes that you know, all these things that have to be removed, which is analogous to this cleansing of the temple, and not only the cleansing outside the temple, making a healthy environment to protect your heart. by your association and the modes you associate with, even cleaned outside the temple. Such a process that Krishna helps. So what does he help us remove? First, kuti nati, fault finding or politics, duplicity, pratishta. Pratishta means what? Pratishta, the desire for prestige and fame. All these are subtle things. So if we have them, don't become discouraged. But we have to engage in the process. And what? Jiva himsa. Envy of others. And Prabhupada said, jiva himsa, envy of others, also means stopping the preaching. Stopping the preaching. The help of others by giving them credit. And what else? Puja. The desire for worship. And what else? Kama. Desires for material gain. And the siddhachar. Accepting things that are forbidden in the Shastra. So this pastime. And analogous. What's analogous? The subtlety. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cleaning again and again every grain, the subtlety and the depth of our desires and the absolute purity that we have to achieve to attract the Supreme Lord. And he cleans it a second time, and he cleans outside, and the caution to do that, and the marble, and when it's finished, it's very peaceful. So this was the Gundicha pastime. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his whole life, Acharya Leela, showing us this process of excavating the heart and making it a suitable place for the Supreme Lord to reside. I'll just do one thing. I'm going to stop for questions now. But I'm going to answer a question that was asked. Sometimes you're welcome to write me questions and or even ask them here. But Prema asked me two questions, so I just want to find the questions and answer them here. Interesting. Because I was talking about, I had a realization, and I was sharing with the devotees that in spiritual life we have to rise above duality, this conception of friends and enemies, and come to more of a transcendental platform. And of course we all experience that being in a society in the age of quarrel and confusion, that it's sometimes a little bit difficult to do that. So I was mentioning this, the characteristics of an advanced devotee. So the question was, in Wednesday's class, you mentioned two characteristics of an advanced devotee. One was the example of being so absorbed in the practice of Nambana, he or she is above duality. And I gave the example of a Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji who would only speak the holy name. You also mentioned the example of advanced Vaishnavas as connoisseur, who is disturbed by anything that is against Siddhanta or Rasabhas. It seems that these two characteristics can be interpreted as contradictory. Would you please explain how you can reconcile these two characteristics existing in exalted Vaishnavas? So what are the two? He's beyond duality. And that appears to be perhaps contradictory to the Vaishnava is a connoisseur, so he's disturbed about anything that's not done properly in Krishna's service. So, let me see. Should I explain it or read my answer? I'll try to explain it. This is maybe getting a little complex, but what I explained is that this beyond duality. What it means is that you see Krishna everywhere. That's what it means to be above duality. And when you see Krishna everywhere, you have a unity in vision, no matter what happens to you. And I think the classic example that I found in the Shastra is when, I think I explained this before, when Dehodan so abused his uncle Vidura and threw him out of the house and insulted him, Vidura's vision was very, very interesting. He saw that, Prabhupada said, very interesting, he saw the internal potency within the external potency. In other words, he saw that Duryodhan was an illusion. And he saw that he was an illusion, but he saw that Krishna was using his fault, was using his mistakes, was using his illusion to purify him and to give him a message. And the message he saw is, yes, it's time for me to leave the politics and intrigues that go on here in this palace. So the non-duality is that he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna in every circumstance. And if someone was nice to him, he would also see Krishna and try to understand what is Krishna trying to tell me from this. So in that sense, beyond duality, the Vaishnava. And he never comes to a platform, the pure Vaishnava, where he doesn't see Krishna. He may see friends, someone who is nice to him. He may see enemies, someone who's against him. But he doesn't make the distinction that his life is separate from Krishna. In fact, a nice example was of Maharaj Parikit. Very interesting. He's a king, but he's bored because he's so... Managers, administrators, they like problems. They like difficulties. They like challenges. But he was so... It described the Bhagavatam. There was nothing lacking in his administration. So he was a little bit bored. So when he heard that there was some crime in the kingdom, almost contradictorily, he became a little enlivened. And when he went out and he saw this very low-class man beating the bull. And then he asked the bull, who has done this? And the bull refused to identify the perpetrator because he was looking at it from the perspective that what is happening is coming by the will of Krishna. And therefore... therefore, Maharaj Parikit identified in that you are the personification of Dharma. Because what does Dharma mean? Dharma means duty. Dharma means to see God, or to see God everywhere, and to respond appropriately to that. So it's not when we say that a Vaishnava is beyond duality. He doesn't make distinctions. He may make distinctions, but the distinction that he doesn't make is that Krishna is not behind everything. And when one has that view, he responds differently to his view in terms of dealing with circumstances where favorable things come and unfavorable things come is a lot different in consciousness than someone who is in duality and doesn't see Krishna everywhere. And when one is in conflict and he doesn't see Krishna everywhere, it has a lot different effect on his own heart than when one actually sees Krishna everywhere. And of course, they're very exalted examples, like Hari Das Thakur, who was beaten in 22 marketplaces. But what was he thinking? He's thinking, I'm being beaten by my own karma. So that's a very, very high platform. But we always see the ideal, and we always see how we can proceed to that. Now, in Prema's question, it was also very nice. But she wanted to know even further, but then how do you distinguish devotees, who, and she mentioned this here, advanced devotees, that sometimes, I gave the example of a Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Prabhupada's godbrother, who he said was Akinchana or Paramahamsa, that Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, sometimes he would be asked any question, he would just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then she gave another example of a story that was on Govardhan Parikram, and he was next to someone, and he said, you're not chanting the rounds properly. So how do you make a distinction, even in advanced the Vaishnava? He's beyond duality. When does he just see Krishna, see everyone is serving Krishna better than him, and when does he actually make corrections, which require some distinction? Well, two things I would say with that is one, there is the platform of Uttama Adhikari or Uttama Bhagavat, where one is so imbued with devotion, at the highest platform of devotion, that he sees everyone serving Krishna better than him, because you tend to see towards your heart. And if you have rag, rag means deep attachment, it also means color. Your heart becomes colored by your attachment. So if it's so filled with love, then you tend to see that love everywhere. Like the gopis in Vrindavan, when they saw the Jamuna churning, the waves of the Jamuna churning, and saying, oh, look at the bhakti. Look at the devotion. Look at all the bhavas churning. They saw serving better than me. And when they saw the water of the Jamuna, the water of the Jamuna, you know, come forward, they say, oh, look how, when Krishna was walking on the bank of the Jamuna and the water came to the shore, they, oh, look how the Jamuna is just offering herself at the lotus feet of Krishna. But we know also that there's Uttama Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari. And even the Uttama Adhikari, to preach Krishna consciousness, he has to recognize the distinctions. And he recognizes that this is the topmost devotee, the Supreme Lord, I worship him. This is the Vaishnava, I make friends with him. This is the innocent, I give him affection and compassion by preaching. And these are the inimical, I avoid them. But even if he comes from the Uttama Bhagavat platform where he's seeing everything serving Krishna better than him, and he comes to the Madhyam Adhikari platform and is making distinctions, those types of distinctions still don't put him on the platform of duality. Just because you're making distinctions, it doesn't mean that you're not seeing Krishna behind everything. He's seeing in the innocent, he's seeing the innocent as a servant of Krishna. He's seeing the innocent, he's seeing everything as part of Krishna, but he's just responding to everything according to their level of realization. So even he sees the person who is inimical, he sees that person as part of Krishna. It's just like in a family. There may be children of different types. One the father may have to, you know, throw one son out. You know, one son he's very close with, but he doesn't make the distinction that they are not family. And his response to each is based on that unity. It means the pure Vaishnava may see someone inimical, he avoids him, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't see that he's part of Krishna. But that action of stepping away helps that person not commit further offenses. And also in terms of his love of Krishna, he doesn't want to hear offenses. So I think really the question here is that making distinctions doesn't put you in the world of duality. And a Vaishnav can make distinctions, and he can correct people. And in terms of correcting people, it also depends on if that's Krishna's desire. Sometimes there's a person who's very, very powerful, and he's making mistakes, and you don't have the relationship to correct him, you know, and you don't have the power to correct him, and therefore you can't. And then there may be some other circumstance where you see that you actually can be effective, and it's your duty, like it's your student, and you make distinctions. So I think the answer to the question is, and I think it's a very subtle point, that to be above duality means to see Krishna everywhere, and seeing Krishna everywhere doesn't mean that you can't make distinctions. Unless somehow or other, on the platform of Uttama Bhagavat, that you allow your love to so pervade your consciousness that you begin to see that love everywhere. But that's not the platform of the preacher. He has to make distinctions. And I'll say one other thing in terms of Srila Prabhupada, what I think. Is that a person who is an Uttama Bhagavat, who becomes a preacher, he's able to actually navigate, so to speak, between the head and the heart. In other words, Prabhupada was often saying, all my disciples are pure devotees, they're sent, they're serving Krishna better than me. And, that's from the heart. So the Vaishnav can be at the platform of the heart, and it's nice to be at the platform of the heart. But for service, he has to go to the platform of discrimination. In other words, you can be the teacher of someone and see their qualities and really want to feel that way. Oh, that they're serving Krishna better than me, and it's such a nice Vaishnav mood. But when you have to do your service for Krishna, you may have to make distinctions. So I see that a Vaishnav can kind of move between both platforms. He can be in the platform of the heart and feel his love and let that love reflect everywhere, to the extent that he's not so eager to make distinctions. But when it's necessity for service to do so, he can. But either way, it's not within the platform of duality, because he clearly sees everything in relationship to Krishna. Anyway, that was quite a deep question, so I hope I can communicate that without the use of my hands, which no one can see here moving, to illustrate the points. So we'll end for today. I'll just ask this. If Gail is there, I'll ask her to wait to see if anybody else would like to ask a question. Because anybody have a question? Okay, it's not necessary to ask the question online, but you can also write me those questions. Gail, are you there?
Yes, Maharaj, I'm here.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, first I'd like to thank you for that. Very wonderful explanation.
That okay, great.
Made things very much clearer. I guess I just had a very minor one, actually.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that I was finishing your sentence properly.
Yes.
When you said that, therefore, because everything in Vrindavan is in the mood of pleasing Krishna.
Yes.
You said, therefore, the mantra for entering Vrindavan, I guess, the obvious Maha Mantra.
Actually, we're saying something else.
Okay.
I used the term mantra not in terms of like. I used it more not in terms of the kind of Sanskrit definition mantra, but like the modern usage of mantra. You know, anything can be a mantra, right? An advertisement can be a mantra. I used it in the terms of. To enter into Vrindavan, Narottam Das Thakur, in his song, said Vishacharya Kabe Shude Habe Man Kabe Hame He Rabosh. If you want to see Vrindavan, you know, when my mind is peaceful and I'm free from the desire for sense gratification, then one will actually see Vrindavan. And in the Gundicha, cleaning of the Gundicha temple, when the temple was just like water and tons of water, and they clean through waters on the walls and the ceilings. And at the end, when it was very, very sparkling, it was so cooling and, you know, clean and peaceful. So the mode of goodness gives a certain peacefulness. And we have to come to the mode of goodness to actually, you know, be peaceful and calm, to actually enter into eternity, actually, you know, see Krishna. So that's the same, that's what he was referring to coming to Vrindavan. I was trying to compare that to the cleaning of the temple, which means Krishna would come. Okay.
So yep. When you use the word mantra, you're using that more like the mood.
Yeah. No, well, no, the modern term mantra means like, they even use it in modern language. It's even in the dictionary. It's almost an English word now. I wasn't using the spiritual process, but a saying that represents something, you know. When you go to Vrindavan, and the philosophy is, when you go to Vrindavan, if you actually want to experience Vrindavan, your mind has to be peaceful, and you have to be free from the desire for sense gratification. And that happens by going to Vrindavan in the right mood and practicing Krishna consciousness. Those who have gone have experienced that. We can achieve a certain purity and determination by the potency of the Dham. And that gains us entrance into actually perceiving the Dham. And those who have gone on Parikram and done it in the proper way, they've experienced that. So this is exemplified in the verse by Narottam Das Thakur. If you want to see Vrindavan, when your mind is peaceful and you're free from the desire for sense gratification, then you'll actually see Vrindavan. So I just used it as something that exemplifies that. Okay.
Marsh?
Yes.
It's Mahamuni. Is there time for another question?
Yes, yeah, sure.
My question was about seeing things in relation to Krishna and how that allows one to overcome duality.
Yeah.
My question is, what exactly it means to see things in relation to Krishna? Because I can say myself, I've experienced a number of occasions where I was undergoing something.
Yeah.
I actually felt like I could appreciate Krishna's presence.
Yeah.
But I was still completely in duality because I was really, because I could appreciate Krishna was involved, but I didn't want it. I didn't want what he wanted.
Yeah.
So does it mean also that, I mean, when you say that seeing Krishna, seeing things in relation to Krishna allows you to overcome duality, I wonder, is it kind of implicit in that it means one's desires have to also be to...
Interesting.
One thing that came to my mind is Aristotle in his Ethics makes the point that you can't really have courage unless you've fought in a battle. Like, in other words, it's something you have to practice so that your desires are kind of naturally going towards the right object.
Yeah.
And so the only way to be charitable is to practice charity till it becomes a kind of natural disposition.
Yeah. Well, the answer came along those lines, and I was saying that, yeah, I think it's an important distinction, but I think it begins with the proper vision, you know? So in other words, sometimes you get credit for something when you're beginning that activity, even though you haven't completed it. And I remember Ridayananda Maharaj gave one example. It's kind of funny. Someone's staying on a building, like in New York, right?
Yeah.
And he jumps off the building, right? But initially, he goes up before he's jumping, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he goes up, everyone says he's falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's gone up, right? You understand, he's jumping up, but everybody, look, he's falling, right? But he's going up. So there's a certain sense where if you're in the direction, you can almost be, you can be credited for the goal. So I think if someone begins to see Krishna, even though he's not actually feeling that way, there's a leeway to say that he's beyond duality, right? Or he's, there's a certain credit you get. But obviously, there's a difference between theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge. And so, a famous statement in the Isha Upanishads, right? It's a famous one. I forgot. In the Upanishads, classic one that, I forgot the Sanskrit, but it's first you have to hear. So you hear, you deliberate. And then when you hear something and you deliberate and understand how it's true, then you apply it and then you realize it. So the first the first process of trying to see something properly and get the right understanding, the real, is to apply it. But initially, when you're applying what's true, you're not seeing it as true. Like, we may act like we're not the body by controlling our senses, by how we view and look at the opposite sex, whatever we want. We may not yet realize we're not the body and have desires as we are the body, but if we are acting according to the truth, we're on the process of realization. But it'll be only after applying the concept in life, repeatedly, we actually come to the point of actually not only accepting something is true, but seeing it is true, which is called realization. So I think your point is valid, that we should make a distinction between just seeing Krishna everywhere, or understanding that Krishna is everywhere, and actually seeing that Krishna is everywhere. Marmuni, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Marsh.
Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question? Okay, anybody like to say Hare Krishna? It's sometimes nice to know different people who are there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. Who's that?
Prema Bhakti Marg.
Prema, Hare Bo.
Thank you for your answer.
Okay, I'm going to write it also. I wrote the first half and I sent you, but the second half brought it to another level, so I have to write that. Thank you.
Thank you, Marg.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Jaini Thai here.
We have to touch base today, Jaini Thai.
If I call, don't be shocked.
What's that?
If I call, don't be horrified.
Why would I be horrified? Oh, yeah, okay, I understand. right. No, but some things we have to discuss.
Okay, good.
Okay, today I'll call you sometime.
Okay, Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bo, Maharaj.
Holidays. Hare Bo. Sorry.
I have to talk to you. That class really brought up an important subject for me.
You mean privately?
Yes.
Okay, maybe we'll do it sometime today.
Should I call you at a certain time, or you'll call me?
If you can call me after 3, that would be best.
Okay.
My time. Okay?
Hi ho. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end for today. Thank you all. Vansha Kalpa Turubhya Sakrapasindu Vaye Vachapati Nampavani Vaishnavi.